This is the Seven Figure Agency Podcast. Discover the strategies and techniques to grow a highly successful and profitable digital marketing agency with your host, Josh Nelson.
Hello and welcome to the Seven Figure Agency Podcast, where we're interviewing highly successful digital marketing agency owners from across the country on how they've grown and scaled their agencies. Today, I'm super excited. We've got an amazing agency with us. We've got Christian and Bryce from Dance Motion Marketing. They've grown their agency to seven figures, serving the dance studio space. And I've been privileged to watch their journey and kind of watch them scale. So without further ado, Christian and Bryce, thanks so much for being on with us today.
Hey, thanks for having us. Excited to be here.
So before we get started, tell us a little bit about the agency, the lay of the land, how many clients, how much recurring revenue, kind of what the agency looks like today.
Yep. So today we're serving 113 dance studios across the country, a few international clients as well. Monthly recurring is about $76,000, which is up quite a bit from where we were this time last year.
Fantastic. So kind of hit seven figures down a little bit, going to blow past seven figures again. Talk to us a little bit about the services you provide. Like, what does it look like? What do you do for these dance studios?
Yeah, so it's really kind of three parts. The main thing that got us in this business was providing done-for-you social media ads on Facebook, Instagram. So that's pretty much the main component they look for us for. And then with the rise of high-level CRM software, we include that also as part of our services. So that way we kind of give them the full CRM and done for you ads experience. And that's our primary offer at the moment.
Facebook ads and marketing automation for the follow-up. That's your core thing. Can you give me an idea of like kind of what you charge for those services today?
Yeah. So I would say on average, we have, I think pricing has been a thing that we've been teetering with because it depends on how many campaigns you're running. But on the low end, it's $600 a month. On the high end, $1,300 a month for those services.
Got it. So somewhere in that range. I'm definitely excited to get into like how you guys are getting clients, how you're delivering results, how you're scaling the team to create freedom. But before that, I'd love to know how you guys got together and how you guys got into this particular niche.
Yeah. So this is a very bizarre story. Neither one of us are dancers. We didn't hail from that realm. The short of the long is I was invited several years ago to be a guest on a podcast that unbeknownst to me was run by Christian's roommate. And the roommate said, "Hey, you guys, you're kind of in similar fields. We were both at the time commercial filmmakers." And, and the roommate said, "Well, you should talk to my guy, Christian." We started connecting. We became fast friends. About every 30 days, we just kind of check in. And it was either 2020 or 2021. I can't remember, to be honest. And Christian, we just caught up. I said, "What are you working on?" He said, "Oh, I just finished up this video project for a dance studio." I was like, "Dude, that's so random. Like, so random." He's like, "Yeah, well, after the other one," I'm like, "Wait, there's two? You've done this twice now? Clearly there's a need. Let's explore it." We gave ourselves 90 days to kind of pilot a program of what that we thought that might look like. It was a total failure, but it got us into the niche and we started to realize that it was a need and it was an area where we could really create substantial value for a client set that desperately needed help. So that's sort of how we got here.
Love it. So you were on a podcast, you guys got connected. Christian had a deal flowing with video specifically in that space. And it just kind of worked its way from there. When it comes to the selection of the niche, talk to us about like kind of your background where you guys weren't just in that particular vertical. Talk to us about the verticals you had been in and why you decided to double down all of the way into dance.
This is a loaded question. I'll let Christian speak for himself. I ran a video production company that worked with large corporations, household brand names, companies that you would know, sports franchises. And during the pandemic, it just went away. I mean, it's tough to spend. Video is a very expensive platform to get into. There's a lot of specialists, and it just went away. When you're furloughing, you know, 40, 50, 60% of your staff, you're not investing there. And so I suddenly, when a pandemic rolled around, had nothing but time on my hands. And I was looking for a way to occupy it, getting to know Christian, hearing that he was working at the time with more small businesses. There were still openings and channels there. And so really, I was just, if I'm being completely honest with you, I was just bored. I was looking for a way to fill time. And when he kind of, you know, shared with me what he was doing with the small business dance studios, got me excited about doing something. Never saw myself being a part of the business long-term, just kind of volunteered like, hey, I got like 60 days. You want to like give this a go and see where we get to. And it was like 60 to 90 days later, we realized we had something interesting. And more importantly, I think we had found a clientele that we were interested in helping. Like we kind of fell in love with, not with the industry or the niche necessarily, but with the clients, the kind of person that tends to open a dance studio, and the things that motivated them were really fueled us, really got us excited in a lot of ways. So that's sort of how I got there. Christian, feel free to jump in on your
own. I mean, I was like a generalist video production person, like all over the board. And I think during the pandemic, that's when I was like, all right, I got to add new skills in my tool belt because no one wants to do in-person video. That's when I kind of started diving into learning Facebook ads and all this other stuff. And I think for me, the dream as a video producer is the trap we all want to get out of is the client that just gets a one-time project and they never buy from you again. And so I wanted to add a recurring service. And for me, I just got lucky that a dance studio was open for me, giving them a little trial on Facebook ads. And the selection of dance studios was kind of random universal luck where I got referred a second dance studio client. And I've known about niches. I've like tiptoed around that concept. But this is the first time where I actually had like two of a kind in my portfolio of clients. And so I'm like, okay, let's just like take this too. We have two kind of pretty good case studies. Let's just like Bryce said, let's just give it 90 days and go after this niche and see what happens. And we had enough positive indicators that we haven't looked back, and we've only focused on this niche ever since.
I love it. I think, you know, a lot of agencies go down this path, right? They know they want to do digital marketing. Maybe it's video in your case, maybe it's funnels, maybe it's web design. And they realize project work isn't great. Jumping from one niche to the next isn't great. Yeah. And so really figuring out how can we make a recurring based service, and then how can we do it for a very specific vertical so that we can scale it up and really just be world-class in that particular niche that we serve. Love right. hearing the story, kind of how you guys arrived at this. I talk with a lot of people that are strong on video and that's their passion. And it's very hard for them to let go of doing video production. Recognizing though that it is usually a one-time shoot it, and maybe once a year they might bring you back for something else. How have you, or maybe you haven't been able to continue to integrate your video skills into the program?
So I think we're just now starting to get it back. And so I think in our journey, the very first studio clients that we serviced, we kind of just were like investing all the time and resources we had. And so we did all the custom. We would go out, you know, I flew out to a studio in Houston to do video production for them and the ads. But I realized like I can only do that so many times. And so we really kind of scaled and productized our service really far back, where like my camera work has been collecting dust for a couple of years. And so it is kind of virtually non-existent. So I'm a whole new type of entrepreneur now.
Yeah.
But now we're starting to recognize, and we use those skills because, you know, content is a huge part of digital marketing. And so I think just the process thinking around how we collect content, edit content, deliver back, and that whole process is probably what we're using today in our businesses. But for the most part, like custom video work just isn't really a good, they don't have the budget for that kind of stuff that we would want to charge for. Like Bryce's work he had six figure projects for his video production work. Dance studios, our niche, can't really afford that. So we really had to productize how we integrate video into the agency. But the thinking, I think, still is very much part of the work that we do.
Love it. So good. So you guys decided like what can we do for this vertical that will deliver great results so that they hit their goals and they get the outcomes that they're after. And you've developed this program. It sounds like it's mainly leveraging Facebook, leveraging marketing automation to follow up with the leads and put new students into the classrooms on a consistent basis. Would love to talk about, so you had the two clients, you decided let's prove ourselves in this space. How did you take that to your first five clients in the dance studio industry?
Yeah. So when you're starting a business, an agency, it doesn't really matter the type of business. You're working from a great deal of hypothesis, ideas, conjecture, what you think is going to work, what you think is needed. And so we gave ourselves, we built an 8-week, not a master class where we're going to teach bootcamp. Studio owners that want it. Boot camp is what we called it. And we went out and got 8 or 10 studios. Some paid, some didn't pay. Like some were like, hey, would you just like go through this and give us feedback? And if you like it, a testimonial. And we went through this process 8 weeks in. We're there every week. We're there for a couple hours. We're coaching them. We're giving them resources, workbooks, you know, cheat sheets, etc. And at the end of the 8 weeks, everybody was ecstatic. They were just delighted by the service. We caught up with everybody 3-4 weeks later just to see what the results were like. Like what kind of results were they getting? Were they getting stuck? Was it working for them? Had we covered all the bases? And across the board, unanimously, everybody said, oh, that was awesome, but I haven't done anything with it. And that was the moment when we kind of realized that while what we were teaching them was important from an informational standpoint, these particular clients are so time poor that they had no ability to execute on the information. And that began a very long process. Neither one of us felt particularly comfortable doing hands-on marketing for these clients. We felt very unsure about that. And it started almost a 10-month process of going through, learning how to do it, offering it for cheap or in some cases free just to get clients. And then when we had kind of a repertoire, we started to look at our results. We started to realize that our clients were getting wins. Then we put a price tag on it. And the price has shifted over the last few years as we've gotten into it. The markets have changed. What people can afford has changed as well. But it's really been... It was a trial and error process. And the thing that we started with is certainly a far cry from where we are today in terms of the actual offer and the deliverables.
Love it. So it sounds like it was education first in you guys' case. It was like, let's sell a training on how to do this. And you got people that were like, okay, yes, this is cool. You obviously know what you're doing. And then they were like, but we didn't do it. So can we pay you to get this done? And you had to decide to go done for you at that point. Right. This is a common theme with successful agencies. And I want you guys all to hear this. When you get those first couple of clients within the niche, it's not just take the money and run, right? It's maybe take the money or not take the money, but the whole focus is to prove your results, to be able to say, hey, this is the client we have in whatever niche, dance studios. This is the deliverable and this is the result. So they focused all their attention around figuring out how do we deliver on our promise? How do we create an amazing case study? And once we have that, it's off to the races, right? Because then you've got proven results and you can stack that. I'd love to know, so as you transition to actually making this a service, you were like, okay, they're buying the coaching, but now we've got this done for you thing. How did you sell those clients and kind of what was the path to get those retainer-based studio clients?
Yeah. I mean, I think what we learned is, you know, at the very, we were willing to do a lot of, you know, pro bono work because we knew, as outsiders to this industry, we would have far more success getting our word spread if we had good clients and testimonials. And so our early growth came from a lot of referrals and then kind of people like bragging about, like, we found our marketing guys. And so that's where it kind of blossomed. And that's how we pretty much probably were growing until we joined your program, was all through referrals and word of mouth. Mm-hmm. We hadn't really done any additional advertising. You know, we had attempted a Facebook group approach where we got a bunch of people in there. But it was really just word of mouth. And, you know, as clients referred people to us, Bryce, we were taking sales calls together at the early days, you know, explaining our offer, selling them into a monthly recurring program, and then figuring out how we can deliver and keep them for as long as possible. But it was like, I remember a point now, we are serving 113, but there was a moment where we had 11 clients and I was like, Bryce, I don't even know how we can take on another one. Like, I just couldn't even grasp scaling beyond that. And so there's just a lot of learning lessons too that we can speak about, like, how did we, you know, develop our processes to even be able to handle more? Cause it's just funny thinking back where I was like, Bryce, 10 clients is stressing me out. I can't take on a single one. And there's just a lot of the, just some of the barriers that we were running into as people kept referring business to us.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'd love to make that transition now. So like now you've got this steady flow of clients coming in mainly because you deliver on the promise. You were able to show the results and people started saying, these are the guys, right? And you started getting tossed all these clients. What changes did you have to make on the systems, the procedures, the process in order to continue to deliver at scale?
Well, I think, and I'm going to let Christian really speak to the practical and tactical of the systems because he's been far closer to that than I have. But I think the first major mindset shift that we took on was admitting to ourselves that we weren't ready to scale and that we needed to make the changes, just acknowledging that up front. Like Christian said, when we started, we'd take every call together. He was on all of the sales calls. I was on all of the client calls. And we realized at some point, this isn't going to work. We have to divide and conquer. We have to actually separate roles and responsibilities. You have to be able to run and make decisions on hiring, firing, budget, systems, et cetera, without needing to consult me on every decision that you make. And that was a big mental shift that sort of started to open the door to recognition of we can scale, but we have to do this intelligently. And I'll let him speak to the specifics of the people and the processes that we've had to adopt and bring in, because there have been many that allowed us to go from our first, we had two clients and then one of them fired us and then we fired the other one and we were back to zero. And then we had 12 90 days later. And then we had 24 60 days after that. So the growth was very, very quick. Once we really picked the niche, but that's where Christian like just absolutely knocked it out of the park in terms of putting the systems and the people in place to make.
Yeah,
that
Christian,
go,
I so. Want to hear your feedback on this, but I want to land for those of you listening, especially if you're in a partnership, make sure you're clear on who's responsible for what within the business. Right, they were struggling with the fact that they were both kind of trying to do everything together, and I think the perfect term was how do we divide and conquer? Right, and that's exactly what Bryce said. How do we figure out your strengths and my strengths so that we get two or three times the outcome versus mm-hmm. both of us trying to work at the same time? So I thought that was a great insight. So Christian, let's get into kind of how you thought about the systems and the procedures part of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think I realized I tend to be quick to be aware of like, I'm at a point where I don't know anymore and I need to find other consultants or experts. So you know, for that, it kind of like, you know, during that year, we discovered High Level, which helped a degree. But then more importantly, I think it was just thinking about, I need to think in systems and processes, like, because we hired a virtual assistant in overseas. And like, I realized, oh, man, I have to like, train this person. And that was a decision after trying to hire an expert, where we just kind of butted heads too much. I realized, oh, I can't hire an expert. Maybe I know this, maybe I try bringing on someone who doesn't know ads, and I train them. And I think in that training process, I realized I needed to like do something. So I just bought this course on process. It was like a ClickUp course, learning how to put things in place and kind of train someone a little bit at a time. But it was a long journey. But that's kind of where, just by like piecing together YouTube videos, that's when I honestly started discovering your YouTube videos. And I was like, wow, this stuff is like kind of informing how we should go about this with like our org chart or the people that we're helping. So just kind of taking bits and pieces there. But the biggest shift for me was implementing, like, you know, documenting our processes as best as I knew how to do and putting into a tool like ClickUp. So that way our virtual assistant, our very first hire, could, you know, start taking some of the work off my plate and help us serve the clients that we had at the time. And that's like the very beginning and just a lot of YouTube universities and things like that, just piecing things together.
Love it. So you proved the concept. You started to get this snowball, recognized you needed to build the systems and the procedures so that you could get the work done, hired a couple people, fired a couple people like we all do, like kind of turn through that team to get the right people in the right seat to understand what they're trying to do. What was the growth strategy that worked best? I mean, obviously word of mouth was powerful, but to go from two clients to hundreds of clients, that takes some great outcomes. Like what are you guys doing today, I guess, to keep the calendar full and to continue to attract new clients?
Yeah. So some of it, truthfully, is still in flux and process, and we're continuing to evolve and test new things. In the early days, like Christian said, we did run a free Facebook group, and weekly we would volunteer 2 hours of our time to just come together and say, as in an ask me anything style, you know, workshop, like, hey, what do you need to know? What are you struggling with? That gave us a lot of education. And that's really how we got from where we were at 2 clients to 12, and we gave ourselves 90 days to do it. We said, we're going to, you know, it was January of, I think it was 21. And then we said, we had two, and we said, if we're not at 10 by, you know, the end of March, we're just going to wrap this up. There's nothing here. A month later, 4 or 5 weeks later, we had 12 clients. And that's when we realized there is something here. Like we know what we're doing. We're getting into the space. A lot of word of mouth. Our industry is a small one. Everybody knows everybody. So, you know, that was a big factor. We have done some organic content. We've seen some success with that. But truthfully, we have not been as consistent with that as we would like to be. We do run our own podcast. It's a weekly conversation. We co-host it together. And we just have, you know, conversations. And I don't know if that's ever brought in leads directly, but it goes a long way to reassuring potential leads, prospects, that we know what we're talking about. And so we do that. They're both on all the major platforms, you know, iTunes, Spotify, et cetera. Also on YouTube, it is a video podcast, just like this one is. And then paid ads. And that's been something that even that strategy, and I won't say anything more about it, because I don't know who's going to end up listening to this, and we've got some secret sauce coming down the line. Nice. But paid ads have definitely been a pretty consistent way for us to bring new people into our gravity well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to add on, I think we joined this program in November, so almost a year ago, mm-hmm. and we had just dipped our toes with ads. But I think some of the things that we've taken from this program that's really helped catapult the growth over the last year to get us to this level was the webinar strategies. I think mm-hmm. The idea of building authority really started to sink in as well. And then just like having access to the coaches and seeing how other people are doing their ad strategies like that, and just knowing how much we should be spending in marketing as well, are other things that have really helped kind of get that pipeline flowing more than we had before.
Love it. Love it. So I'm curious. So there must be a pocket, you know, like, so as niche agency owners, right, we've got whatever it is, chiropractors, dance studios, and we're either going to buy a list, we're going to borrow a list, we're going to join an association, we've got access to a coach or some group that's out there. It sounds like in your case, you were putting out content, you were adding value to the industry, you aggregated your prospects into a Facebook group and started showing up on a weekly basis, adding value, proving your results. What was the seedling? Was there like a joint venture? Was there a big group that kind of helped populate that initial awareness?
No, there really wasn't. I mean, we were not smart enough to figure out that there were groups and associations that already had, you know, our pockets, like you said, groupings of our ideal customer. We just went at it from a very cold start standpoint. We just started like personally reaching out to people on Facebook saying like, hey, do you need this? And they'd be like, no. But eventually we got enough yeses that we believed that it was possible. Now we're pretty well tied in to all of the, you know, again, the conferences that happen over the course of the year. We know where they are. We're a known entity now. When we show up, people aren't like, who are these guys? I mean, obviously it's a female heavy, you know, woman dominated industry. First couple of years we showed up and they'd be like, who are these men in this room? And why are they telling me how to run my business? And we've been very conscious and aware of that since. Now we show up and people know who we are. Mm-hmm. And we've kind of attained that like local, let's call it local star power, local celebrity status, where we walk in the room and they're like, oh, you're the marketing guy. I need to talk to you. And so we've sort of broken in now, but we didn't go the fast or easy way. We really just did it one by one until we've gotten to where we are today.
I love that. So literally just reaching out to people that you saw within the niche, connecting on social media, starting a DM process, inviting them to the group, and then these weekly sessions. I love this strategy. Can you talk to me about the format? Or was it just, hey, bring us your questions, we're going to help you, and if there's an opportunity, you know, we'll schedule you in?
Yeah, I mean,
that was it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Christian. So one of the big aha moments for us when we did the 8-week boot camp No, actually, I think it was one of the first times we tried to do like a Russell Brunson style webinar.
Value stack pitch at the end. So you're going to get this and this and this and sign up now and nobody signed. Right.
So I remember clearly this is like, there was a clear moment where it was like, this is what we need to replicate and do every week. We did a 90-minute webinar and did content all the way until like the 75th minute. And then Q&A was a little just dull. No one bought. And then this one studio owner, I remember her, she was like, I get all this. I've been told all this. I just want someone to tell me why it doesn't work for me. And I was like, okay, just let's see your Facebook. Like, do you want to share us your Facebook ads? And we pulled it up on the computer and I just kind of like poked holes at it. And she was like, had this like aha moment where she, that moment, I think we just gave her feedback. And so that was the impetus of our format where, hey, ask me anything, get feedback on your marketing. And people would show up, share a Facebook ad they put together, share a landing page or their website. And we just like would critique it. And it was as simple as that. And people showed up. They liked hanging out with us. They showed up. They were telling their friends. And we started seeing, you know, some people actually get wins from, hey, they would show up on a call and say, I did the thing you told me to do 2 weeks ago, and I'm getting leads now. And one of them came in for a trial. And other people would hear it. And that kind of like snowballed people wanting to hang out with us. So we kind of like Bryce said, the hard way, we kind of create our own gravity swell just by showing up and giving our time up for free. And that still continues today with our clients.
Yeah. And we have clients today, just to put it in perspective, that started coming to those free conversations 4 or 5 years ago, that 3 years later, they reach out and they're like, I'm ready now. I did the thing that you told me to do and now I'm ready. And I'm thinking of one in particular, Lydia, who like, that's exactly what happened. She showed up. She was struggling really, really hard in her business. It was not getting traction. We showed up, we gave her free advice, and she's a customer now, and has been for a while. And so we didn't realize, I think at the time, the benefit that we were going to receive from it as well. We thought this is like, oh, we're just going to give this away for free. But we really earned the trust of the industry and learned a lot about our market, about our customers, how they think, what's keeping them up at night. And so when we started putting a price tag on things, we knew the areas where they were going to trip up. We knew the objections. We knew the struggles. And so we were able to really hyper target our messaging to speak to exactly the bleeding neck, the thing that was just absolutely critical that they needed solved right now. And so we were the beneficiaries of that as much as the people who attended the calls, the potential clients. So it was very, very eye-opening. It's super cool. Lots of lessons in that.
So good. I love it. And you know, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about, oh, I do content or I've got a Facebook group, really should ask, like, are you giving value? Are you thinking about the problems that your prospects have? Or are you just trying to show up and sell, sell, sell? Are you trying to show up and posture, posture, posture? These guys, they showed up. And it was, let us help. Let us solve your problems. Show what's not working. And no ask, just give. And when you give, people start to reciprocate. People start to take notice. I think you guys have done an amazing job with this. I appreciate you sharing kind of how you approached that. Would love to come back now to, so that's how we're getting clients, right? Would like to come back now to the delivery side. Now serving hundreds of clients. Obviously, you've built the systems, you've built the team. Let's talk a little bit about what the team looks like, how you guys think about recruitment and training of the team that does the work.
Love that. So that is very much like, we've made a lot of huge progress over the last year. It's still kind of a puzzle piece that we're trying to solve, but primarily it's, you know, the people, like we have our people roles, like our account managers that they meet with our clients, give them the monthly review calls, like share and like help them plan campaigns. And then we have our marketing specialists where they kind of put all the ads together, do all the delivery of side of things. And so they all collectively, we kind of have a couple account managers and some marketing specialists to serve our clients. And so it's a combination of the people empathy roles and then the technical put it all together and launch it roles. And that's pretty much like right now I'm overseeing kind of like the delivery. I'm still doing some account management, helping people with the ads. But in terms of hiring and filling, we have really found after all the trial and error, I think where we're going forward now is we hire first for culture fit. Like if you have the willingness to learn, you vibe well with our team, we'll teach you the skills that you need to do this job well. It's kind of really fun to kind of mold them into our processes, our way of work. And so that's been working pretty well for us so far, just to kind of get people who are passionate about dance or just helping other people. And like, cool, you don't need the skill set. You don't need to be a Facebook ad expert. We'll teach you all that in our training. And that's been working really well for us at this time.
Mm-hmm. And just to add to that, for anybody listening, be very conscious. Like, your team is the backbone of how well you are going to be able to scale a business. If you don't have a team, or if you have a team that's not, you don't implicitly trust them, they're not really on board, it's going to handicap how much or how fast you are able to grow. We've been very lucky in a sense, and I say lucky with sort of air quotes, because we've built a culture that is attracting the right kind of person in. And we're also conscious to hire from within the industry. So like in the empathy forward roles, we accidentally hired our first kind of success manager, account manager. And she was a former dance studio owner herself. And we didn't realize at the time how fortuitous that was, or the level of empathy that she would truly be able to show up with, the conversations, the depth that she can go to with our clients that Christian and I just can't ever go to despite our best efforts, because I don't know what it's like to own a dance studio, but she does. And so now we've been very conscious of the who more than the how. We'll figure out the how together, but we got to get the right people. And this is Jim Collins and Good to Great, and get the right people on the bus and all the things. But really, truly, when you get the right people, you can step back and just trust that it's going to work out okay. And more times than not, it does. And our team, it's almost starting to sound like a cliche, because we do our like weekly send-off call where we check in with everybody. And every week, it's just like somebody brings this gushing gratitude for the rest of the team. But it really is true. Like, we love working together. We love being together in person. We have great dynamics. Everyone has either came in with a skill set or has developed a skill set at a very, very high proficiency. And it's just cool to see. And team is the hardest thing to build. Culture is incredibly difficult to build. But once you get it right and you hit that like magic moment, it is magic. It's just like, it all works in a very, very special way. So hire well is my advice or my suggestion to those who might be listening in today. It's well worth the time and effort.
So good. So many great insights there. Kind of as you grow and scale the agency, right? If you want to have freedom, you're going to have to build a team, especially if you want to deliver great results. And so a couple things they said here that were really powerful, hire for attitude and then train for aptitude, right? Mm. Do they fit into the culture? Are they the right fit? And you can train them, right? Especially if you already know what you're doing with the website or the SEO or the Facebook ads or whatever it is that you do. Hiring somebody experienced, you're going to have to get them to conform to your way. But when you hire them and train them, they're part of your team. They're going to follow your process. That's super valuable, super insightful. The other thing was hiring within the niche, right? Hiring someone that has a passion for that industry that you're in. So they have the context, right? And they can have deeper conversations, especially on the account management front. The people are going to be talking with the clients. Yeah. I love that. Would love to talk a little bit about like team pulsing, right? So you've got this great culture. You've got this team that you've trained up. Like, what does a week in the life look like? How often are you meeting? What's the Slack communication flow look like? Just let's have a quick conversation around that.
So I think a big thing that's helped us as we've grown and like we started implementing EOS from, you know, you guys talk about this all the time in Seven Figure Agency. And so we started implementing that ourselves. So we do our weekly L10 call. We have our new Friday send-off call where it's more of a personal thing, like not so much work related. We have our delivery team does a daily huddle every day just to check in on roadblocks and what's needed for that day and priorities. And then Slack, we kind of have one foot in ClickUp, one foot in Slack in terms of getting work done. So that part we're still trying to figure out. Yeah. But I think the daily huddles with the delivery team and the L10s to really tackle the big business priorities together have been really helpful in just kind of creating more visibility for everyone to know what's happening in all our departments. It's eight of us total right now. And so we've just started to get to that point where departments don't see each other as often, which is why we did the Friday send-off. So our onboarding and our delivery can be together with me and Bryce and other people that they may not see on a day-to-day basis. So that's a little bit about what we've implemented today on a daily and weekly basis to make sure the team is all well-informed and in sync with each other.
Love it. So the daily huddle, how long is that? What's the basic format for you guys?
15 minutes, round robin. Is there a roadblock getting in your way, or is there something that escalated in priority? And we just quickly identify it. We don't solve anything. We just know, here's what we got to do. Do you know what you need to do to make that happen? And it's really quick check-in.
And is that every day? What time is that, in the morning, in the afternoon?
For us, it's first thing in the morning, at the beginning of every day, Monday through Friday.
Love it. And then once a week, you've got your level 10, which is an EOS meeting structure. And then you've got your Friday send off. What's the format for that?
it's somebody evolving, but usually it's a ridiculous icebreaker question that we've pull off the internet. Like, if you were a box of cereal, what kind of cereal would you be and why? Right. Like, what, just silly things that kind of get us talking about it. Usually we talk weekend plans. Like, what are you up to? What are you most excited about? What's going on? And it's just a way, truthfully, to create space in a breath where people get to know their colleagues. So when you're running remote or distributed teams, it's a challenge to build a culture. And we made a decision. One of our core values, truthfully, is collaboration. Mm. We collaborated with early customers. We've collaborated with them on what to develop. Christian and I have always been collaborative. And so we're not the kind of company that's afraid of putting more meetings than maybe we need to on the calendar, because it creates connection. And when you create connection, then people don't mind sending that text message or that Slack notification or whatever that gets to the answer faster. And so we're always just about creating as much FaceTime virtually as we possibly can with our folk, so that they feel like they know they can go to anybody else on the team. They feel comfortable to do so. Mm. And so the Fridays are like, they're just meant to be goofy. It's just kind of like, what fires you up? What are you excited? What was your big win from the week? And we kind of hear and celebrate, those wins and, just one another in a very personal way. So it doesn't really have a structure. It just kind of goes the way it goes. And it's always good.
I think that's beautiful. I think it's so important. Most agencies these days do run virtual team, right? And whether it's international or national, we want to put them into their ClickUp task list and, send them to work, right? Expect them to get things done. Well, if you want to have a culture where people actually care about you, they care about your clients, then they have to feel like they know you and they trust you. And like the reality is, the only way you do that, if you spend time with them and you spend time with them in more of a casual environment. And I love that you've baked that into your Friday frequency, where this happens and you've gotten to know them, they've gotten to know you. And I think that buys a lot of grace, and it buys a lot of, them really caring about the company and the core outcomes.
Well, and just to add to this, like, we actually have made really smart business decisions as a result of the goofiness that happens on Friday afternoon. Mm. So we learned recently that one of the gals who's on our team, she's newer to us. We didn't have an existing relationship coming in. On a Friday call, we sort of discovered that she really loves social media management. She loves it. And so we started going, well, wait a minute. This is a need that we actually have within our own business. Would you be willing to do this? Can we experiment with, can we play with this? And it allows us to actually build the business based on her passions.
Yeah.
Her passions fit with our needs. And we never would have known that if we hadn't done a, like, what are you doing this weekend? What if you had a superpower, what would it be? I mean, it's totally goofy stuff, but you really do get to know people, and you can leverage it to build your business as well.
Love it. Love it so much. Kirk here is watching live. Kirk, thanks for watching. He's asking, cameras on for that? I would imagine that's absolutely an absolute yes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, like, just something that I've, kind of worried about is agencies. Like, our first hire was an overseas VA. English is not his first language. And I think for a while, like, I don't know, it was unintentional, but just the way we worked, he and I just kind of worked together in a silo. But even integrating people that are overseas into the team has really helped a lot in the gelling and feeling like you matter here. And you're not just, anyone who is even if you're working with a virtual assistant, English may not be their first language, just know that that would probably mean a lot to these people just to be able to show up and be a part of something. And I don't know, it may, that probably gets like a lot of like misconceptions in virtual assistants, but that like really make it a whole team thing. Everyone is at you. We all have the same status. We're at the same level. There's no hierarchy, and giving people a space to share their wins and voice concerns, that has helped a lot in creating that vulnerability in our team.
100%. I'm glad you said that. I think it's important, right? Regardless of where they are, if you treat them like a team member, they're going to show up like a team member, right?
Exactly.
Bring them on the meetings, invite them to the games that you play as a company. I think that that's amazing. Would love to shift gears now to retention, right? So we've got hundreds of dance studios now, obviously trying to like deliver world-class results, retain those clients at the highest level possible. Talk to us about how you guys think about retention and kind of any cool strategies you've put in place to, you know, to keep those relationships active.
So this is a really interesting one for us, and it may be niche specific. So it may not have, this may have no value to anybody else, but we have learned in the last 6 months that our results aren't actually the reason why people stay or choose to go. And that's a really tough pill to swallow because, you know, we came into this with the belief that if we could just do great work that they'd stay for it forever. And we've learned that that's not really the case. And so we're having to adjust and shift, and it's not fully formed yet what we're doing, how we're doing it. What we do know is that relational connectivity is going to be the glue that holds us together over a period of time longer than purely based, just looking at numbers and being basing, you know, an estimated retention time based on that. And so there are some things that we're evolving. There's some things that we're learning. I recently, as a project, pulled all of our data from every client that we've ever worked with, evaluated price point, how long they stayed, time of year they started, et cetera, to see if we could start understanding trends and patterns. And we're still sorting through it because it's a lot, but there's an incredible amount of data in that. There's a lot of insight that we're taking away, and we're bringing that now to our team saying, we have a retention problem. We know that when we have X, Y, and Z factor, how can we fix that? And these are things that they're real conversations that are evolving in real time. I don't think that we've kind of found the magic bullet on that one yet, to be honest with you.
And the reason I think it's been challenging is because our specific niche, it's very possible to get fired for doing too good of a job as well. Like we've had dozens of people who they were starting very small studios, 30, 40 kids. They get to 60 and their operations are overwhelmed. And they're like, guys, I can't advertise anymore because I got to figure out how to handle this, you know, this. And so like we realized, wow, we like, what do we do about this? Like we can actually do too good of a job with results. And so that's where we're really thinking through, you know, what are the other pieces and elements we can put in our services? Because currently it's just that one offer, ads and CRM. But what else can we do to give value for people who hit that overwhelmed in their businesses where, and it's also a very seasonal thing too. So there's big growth seasons and then holding steady seasons where advertising may not be necessary. And so we're really just trying to figure out what are additional ways now that we know more about this industry and the business model, how can we meet other needs when it's not grow, but more like hold steady and keep our students longer. So that's what we're looking to get a little bit creative with our service.
And our clients too, like they're brick and mortar businesses. And it's service-based. So you can only like reasonably responsibly have X number of kids in a classroom per hour. Right. And so there we have been fired and we joke about it. Like it's, we love getting the phone calls. It's the best reason to get fired.
Right.
But like clients will call us up and say, I'm full. I can't squeeze another kid in here. I got to let you go. And it's like, that's like pat on the back, like, yay, we did a good job. But also it's like, well, I don't love that part, you know? So, so there is a, like, and these are, a lot of these are going to be specific to us and our niche and our industry. But if you're in a salon only has so many chairs, a chiropractor only has so many beds, a martial arts dojo only has so much floor space. Like there are going to be limitations in whatever niche you pick. And it's just understanding them so that you can serve your client at the highest possible level.
Yeah, I love that. I think, you know, it should be a badge of honor when a client does pause you or cancel you because they've been overbooked. Like that should be something to celebrate, right? I think that's awesome that you're accomplishing that. And you're like, how much better could you have done for a client than that they're overbooked and now they need to stop the service? I think Bryce said something really powerful. I want to make sure you heard it and it resonates with you. Clients don't just stay for results. right? You can deliver amazing results and still get cancellations, right? Mm-hmm. They stay for like the results and the experience that you generate for them, right? I think showing that you care, gifting, those things are going to help with retention. Obviously, results is mission critical. But if you don't have that, it's going to hurt. I would think in you guys' case, like what you do with cross-pollination with your own content, with the community, and kind of creating a mastermind around your client base, you know, like they're going to also stay for those relationships and for that community that you guys might develop. And so I think, you know, those are some big opportunities for you to maybe even double down on deeper.
Yeah, we actually had this happen very recently. We had a client who something happened in her personal life that was impacting her ability to earn. So previously, things were at this level and she was totally satisfied. And we got her to this level, but she had this change in her personal life. And so suddenly this wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. And she came to us and said, listen, I can't afford to work with you guys anymore. I'm going to need to let you go. And we said, okay, well, if that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. And then she's like, but I love the community. I love the relationships. I don't know how I could function without them. And we're like, well, you will be giving that up if you cancel the service. And she's still a client. We pulled it out of the fire. She's getting more results. She's happy now. Everything's peachy. But it does just go to say that it's not just dollars and cents. It's not just number of leads that you get captured every week. It is the experience that people have that ultimately will keep them there.
Yeah. If you can get your clients to feel like you're on their side, you're a true partner and you're here to figure it out with them, that even if the results, you know, you're going through a slump in results and they feel that from you and your team, they'd rather have a thought partner in this than try to figure out alone or work with another vendor where it's just transactional. And so really having those relationships, like lean into that, it really helps keep people along with you for a while.
So good. So many great takeaways there. I think if you're in a niche that lends itself to seasonality or to getting overbooked, figuring out how you can add a mastermind component or a community component where they're getting almost as much value from the relationships with your other clients as they are from what you actually deliver, gives you another layer of retention. And you know, you know, they might pause the campaign, but still pay because they value the community that you're in. So just something to think about if they're in one of those niches. Guys, this has been awesome. Congratulations on your success. You shared some great insights on how you chose the niche, how you put together your program, kind of what the deliverable looks like, how you land clients and have positioned yourselves as the go-to expert in that space. And beyond that, really how you've developed your team, your systems, your processes, how you think about the culture within your company. Thank you so much. So many great takeaways. If you had one last piece of wisdom, I'll ask this for both of you, for that agency that's, you know, just trying to get to the next level, what would that be? And let's start with Bryce.
Way to put me on the spot there, Jeff. I think that this is, it doesn't matter what level you're at, whether you're starting or you're, you know, making an attempt or you're trying to grow and scale. I'm really just going to suggest to you that if you don't absolutely fall in love with your clients and the problems that they have, you're not going to get there. And I'm seeing more and more people enter into our market. Generally, you know, lots of people are building and launching agencies now. And it's always sort of with this mindset of, oh, if you run an agency, you can make money. And there is a truth to that. However, if you don't really truly fall in love with your clients' problems, you might make money, but you're not going to have impact. And I guess I would just encourage everyone who's listening today, why are you getting into it? What are you trying to do? Yeah, you can, you know, like you can earn the whole world and lose your soul in the process, right? And that's not something that we want for ourselves, or I don't want that for you. So really fall in love and like making an impact, and it's going to just be really satisfying. It gets you through those tough months when revenue drops, when clients cancel. You're like, but I still love these people, and it just kind of does something for you in a pretty special way that it just puts fuel in the tank when you're kind of running on E. So that would be mine.
Powerful. I love that. Fall in love with your client and their problems. And if you don't, if you're just in for a quick cash grab, oh, it's a niche, so I'm going to say I know what I'm doing and I'm just going to go and charge the monthly fee, you're going to struggle, right? Especially when you've got people like Bryce that truly care about the industry and are giving not just, you know, the bare minimum, but willing to go above and beyond because they actually care. I think that's awesome. How about you, Christian?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great response. I think for me, looking back, like starting out either as an agency or going after a certain niche, patience, I think, is just something to keep in your mind. And just like, I think slowly, like we didn't make a buck from going after this niche for like the first 13 months, but we knew that we were building trust and relationships and we were trying to figure out what the best thing to offer them was. But I think, yeah, like if you love the person and you're patient in the process, it's like a garden. It's going to take time to grow. And even when I think some of the things that scared me going through this is like when other competitors or people pop up or you think it's a crowded space, you'd be amazed at what doing 1% better than, like, I think a lot of people just are mediocre, in my opinion, honestly. And I think when you get into the business owner space, you realize that even among business owners that people are succeeding and they're delivering a mediocre service. And so if you care, you love your client, you care about them, you do 1% better, that's going to set you apart, like regardless of how much competition is out there. And that would be my two cents and just being patient in the growth journey there.
Love it. Plant the seeds, put the right soil, water it, recognize there's a gestation period. You're not just going to do a webinar or send an email or run an ad and magically have a seven-figure agency. These guys have invested in their industry, caring about the industry, proving their results, and built gradually over time. Two great takeaways. Thank you guys for sharing. Congratulations on your success. I can't wait to celebrate you. Seven figures and multiple seven figures down the track. If somebody wanted to connect with you or learn more about you guys, what would be the best place to do that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we're always open to talk to other entrepreneurs and agency owners or people. So feel free. You don't have to be a dance client to reach out. Just hit us up. We'd be happy to talk to you. We are only where we are because we've had a tribe of people who came alongside us and pointed us in the right direction. So we'd be happy to do that for you if you're listening today. If you are a dance client, head on over to dancemotionmarketing.com. You can see what we're about, how we do what we do. You can get in touch with us there.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys. And thank you for watching today. If you got value, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you happen to be watching on YouTube. And be sure to reach out to Bryce and Christian. Thank them for sharing, right? Thank them for their abundance mindset. Like they have nothing to gain here other than just to share their wisdom and to give back and really help the other people that are on their way up. So thank you guys for doing this today. And I will send you on with your day.
Awesome. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for having us.